Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
I see you dressed in white, every wrong made right. I see a rose in bloom at the sight of you. Oh, so priceless, irreplaceable, unmistakable, incomparable, darling, it's beautiful. I see it all in you, oh, so priceless. This vision of true worth is at the center of the latest hit single from For King and Country, Priceless. In less than 4 years, this quite literal Grammy-winning band of brothers, composed of Joel and Luke Smallbone, has sold over 750,000 records, appeared all over national TV, and has continued to advance a message that's precious to them, the Priceless Movement, dedicated to reminding women of their worth and encouraging men to respect and to honor women. This fall, they're bringing that message to the big screen in their first movie, Priceless, in the companion book of the same name, which releases next Tuesday across the country. Joel Smallbone, the older and in some quarters referred to as the wiser brother, joins us today on the road. A blessed day to your brother. Thanks for being here.
Oh, pleasure, my friend. Well, that was quite an intro, if I do say so myself. And we should have had you, and I've had it knowing you, you know, such an orator. We could have had you actually quote those chorus lyrics in this song or something like that, Ryan. That would have been great, eh?
Well, if you ever need that type of assistance, I will definitely consider. I mean, I would definitely consider it. Just keep that in mind.
Good to know. I will bear it in my mind.
Please do. Now, this is the second time that we've been honored to have you here on the road, Joel. And as a story-based show, I got to tell you, this is the first time that we've ever had a repeat guest on the program. So where does this information rank on your list of lifetime achievements?
Well, the fact that it's the first time, it seems like that's quite a high compliment.
Yeah.
So, I respect where respect is due, Ryan. And look, we love it. It's incredible. We got to speak last year, and it's sort of remarkable what a year can do in all of our lives, just the journey that we're all on. Because literally, I think when we spoke last year, we were about to film this feature-length film, Priceless, and here we are a year on. It's filmed, it's edited, it's complete, and it's ready to hit the theaters in just over a month. Like that kind of blows my mind. if you knew the amount of work, Ryan, I think you would understand.
Well, that's really what I want to ask you about first, and we'll talk about the Priceless Movement in just a moment to kind of set the stage for the content of the book and the film. But I mean, just in terms of hours in the day, your current existence does seem something superhuman in the sense of writing books, producing films, and then on top of that, of course, you're touring this fall as well. So how does this work on a daily basis for you, brother?
Well, the great thing about For King Country is it's so much larger and wider and more collaborative than just Luke and I. And if it was just Luke and I, it wouldn't be feasible. But there is, first of all, it's a family affair. Dad manages us. One of our brothers is our general manager. One of our other brothers, Ben, he directed the film. Our brother Daniel is the lighting designer for us. So it's certainly all of us in it together. But then beyond that, I mean, everything for everyone from yourself and the great support you and the team have given to, you know, our label, our publisher, our booking agent, these sorts of people, the band, like the crew, it really takes an army, and it's been very special to see everyone in action this year, in fact, to see everyone really pull together in a time where it feels like with this book and this film and the music that there is something important, there's an important message being shared and a creative, hopefully inspiring portrayal of that message. And so We're kids in a lolly shop, Ryan. We really are.
That is beautifully said, sir. Joel Smallbone of For King and Country is with us today on the road. Let's talk about the priceless movement. Joel, this is something that those who follow you know is near and dear to your hearts. Could you explain what it is and what drew you to it?
Dating back actually 7 years ago, when our sister, Rebecca St. James, was traveling more often, we would back her up during that time as her band, and then Luke and I would play a few songs in her set. This preceded For King and Country. But this particular night, we were performing in front of about 500 women. It was a girls' event, and we were like the two token guys there, right? And I remember vividly, right before we stepped on stage, there was a conversation had between my mother, my sister, Luke, and myself. And it really simply consisted of, hey, there's a bunch of ladies here this evening. And if you have something to share, what would we share? And really, since that moment, from then to now, out of it was really born the priceless movement. So when For King Country began 5 years ago, Luke had just gotten married. I met my now wife at his wedding. And so we really felt impressed as young men to share this message. And so one of the things we did as sort of a physical remembrance is we got a bunch of Australian 1 cent coins from Australia, and we framed them and made necklaces out of them. And we've seen, I think, Ryan, to date, I think about 300,000 men and women, boys and girls in this country rally behind this. And so 2 years ago, chronologically, we went to Ben, our brother, who's a filmmaker, and we said, hey, there's something resonating here. Of what do you think about? And I don't think we knew what we were asking at the time, but taking this message to the silver screen. And he looked at us and said, man, you know what? There's a story. I edited a documentary years ago, and there was a story that's always stuck with me that I wanted to turn into a film, a true story. And so we kind of married those two. We married his original story, and we married this sort of the sentiment of the priceless movement, and out came I think, a very special feature-length film and book, a novelized book, and some great actors. We had David Koechner from Anchorman and Jim Perry from Suicide Squad and Fury, and Bianca Santos from The Duff, and Steve Barnett, producer from, A Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore and the Spartan film 300. These great people came out of the woodwork and said, we love what you're doing, count us in. And so here we sit, a little over a month shy of the theatrical release for the film, and just thrilled, man, really, really excited to tell this story. It feels like a very important story to share.
Well, it's really fun to hear your passion for it, brother. And this story of James Stevens, of course, is at the heart of the film Priceless and the novel version as well. Can you give us a window into the story of the book without giving too much away? Sort of thread the proverbial no spoilers needle somehow?
Yes, I like the way you put that. The book picks up the first five chapters, six chapters, in fact, precede where the film picks up at. And so you get this real deep backstory into my character, James, in the book that you don't get in the film. You just get a more in-depth look than an hour and 37 minutes can provide. But my character, who I was very fortunate to play, is an American. So I had to lose the Aussie dialect. So I had a great dialect coach by the name of Steve Corona. He's worked with Helen Mirren and Gerard Butler, some great actors and actresses, international actors. Yeah, he came out on the road with us and spent a week with me on the road. And then he, during the filming, had headphones on during every scene. I play an American, and my character's lost his wife in a tragic accident. And he was in and out of prison, couldn't hold a steady job after the fact, just really unraveled and failed as a father. His daughter was claimed by protective services. And in almost a last-ditch attempt to get his life back on track, he takes a under-the-table transportation job, no questions asked, driving straight through cross country. He takes the job, and about midway through the trip, middle of the night, he falls asleep at the wheel and he careens into a ditch. Mm. And as he's out circling the truck, surveying if he damaged anything beyond repair, he hears crying in the back of the truck, and he knocks the lock off and opens it up, and he sees that it's not what he's transporting, but who. He's got two young ladies in the back of the truck. And he invites them into the cab, and as their story unfolds, they believe they're coming to a waitress and a maid, and so he continues on the trip with them. He sees a real strength and dignity to the girls, particularly the older sister, and starts sort of caring for her and feeling sort of romantically inclined towards her. But no sooner does he drop them off, and he realizes that he hasn't dropped them off to be maids and waitresses. He dropped them off into slavery. And so the rest of the film, again, in walking that tightrope of proverbially threading the spoiler needle,
yes, sir.
He really becomes a vigilante and endeavors to save them, whilst this young lady, Bianca, the actress's name is Bianca Santos, but Antonia in the film, her strength and dignity in the face of really tragedy and hardship really sort of in some ways is physically, spiritually and mentally saving him in a sense. So very dynamic. It's very dramatic, but it's an important film. We're excited to tell it.
Joel Smallbone of For King and Country, their new book and film, both releasing this fall, are both called Priceless. And as you touched on there just a moment ago, a big focus of this story is on human trafficking. Why was this an issue that you really wanted to shine a light on, Joel?
If you turn the lens in and you just ask the simple question, if we are image bearers of God and we are all individual and unique and we're all priceless, what's the antithesis of that? And that would be that we can be bought, that our bodies can be bought, or that our affections can be bought.
Right.
And so there was a part of that was just this side of really bringing to light and starting a conversation about something that is not only internationally where learning is a sort of tragic reality, but it's also something domestically in America. And that's part of the reason we wanted to film it in America, because it's a very real, this idea of human trafficking is very real in America. But when you pull the lens back out of that even a bit further, you realize that this is a cause and effect. And what I mean by that is, in a modern context, we as young men and women are being bombarded more than ever with advertisements and almost, I dare say, indoctrination about who we are, who we should be, how we should interact, man to woman, woman to man, where we find our self-worth and all the rest of it. And the film is really, hopefully, a subtle debunking to men, saying, hey, men, you know, we are not just primitive sexual creatures. There is a stronger, more dignified version inside us that wants to protect a woman and wants to be chivalrous and love well and make these life-bounding, binding commitments. And then to women, saying, hey, that your self-worth is, rather than it being found in your figure, or rather than it being found in what kind of guy thinks you're attractive, that we are all image bearers of God, as I said, and that our sort of dignity and worth should be found first and foremost in God. And then it sort of resets all of these horizontal relationships, if you will, and so I hope that there's two things people walk away with. One is that internal, like, here I am. This is sort of a conversation of who I am and where I'm finding my identity. And then secondly, the reality of this, that there are more humans enslaved today than ever in history, or any other time in history, and that this is a very real thing. And what are we doing as a global citizen to thwart this evil amongst us?
This is your first book, Joel, and I wonder if you had any expectations going in to what a project like this was going to look like, and particularly with the companion film, said being such a unique situation. Was the reality that you discovered any different from what you anticipated?
Yes, it was much more dynamic than I anticipated, Ryan. It was everything from the filming schedule was so rigorous. We did 5 days, 12 hours a day plus, and then every weekend I would catch a red-eye flight out to do the King Country show. So there's that jarringness of going in and out of this character and then sort of back into myself, putting on my own shoes again for the shows.
Wow.
And but there was just, there was every step of the way, there was some, whether it was in the town we shot in, the film commission almost shut us down a few times, or whether it was the financial strains and going over budget, there was always something. It was sort of almost on the border of catastrophe, and then equally something just sort of remarkable and miraculous that felt like it was happening simultaneously. And it is certainly, for Luke and I both, the most we've ever invested on any level and every level in a project, and arguably it's the most proud we've been of any project we've ever been involved with.
I realize you've been doing this. This is such a fascinating situation that you've been working with your family really your whole life in terms of music, but to do it on a book, to do it on a movie, what is it like to be able to join your efforts with your brothers, with your dad, with your sister for so much of your life? What is that like for so many of us who don't really get to experience something like that vocationally?
I think we got all of our kinks out as a family when we were younger. We went through. Luke and I were actually sort of arch enemies when we were growing up.
Really?
He grew taller than me, and he's a better sportsman than me, and I'm older than him. So it's, by sort of this unwritten law, I should be the better brother, but I never was. And so there was that component to it. But you know what? There's a very striking thing that I, as an adult now, and sort of looking back on it and realizing how peculiar our upbringing was, because you don't know when you're in it. It's just sort of your reality.
Sure.
But then also realizing, studying some of the components that really brought us together. And I think one of the major things is when we first moved to America, Dad had lost his job. We had no money. And it forced us to work together as a family. So we raked leaves, we mowed lawns, we cleaned houses. And everything and anything we earned went back into the family fund. And then when our sister Rebecca started traveling as an artist, we traveled with her as a family. And we all had our own jobs. And I think doing that as youngsters and having kind of this family thing that we owned, we all owned it together, I think it knit us together in a very special way. And so now I think in a lot of ways we're bearing the fruit of this great journey, this hardship that we walked through, and it's such a special thing, Ryan. I gotta be truthful, and sometimes you wish there was more drama to be told, but it's not. It's been a lovely journey. Not only is my brother Ben directed it, and Luke was one of the producers. Our dad was one of the producers. I'm acting in it, but we had our brother Cubby, brother-in-law Cubby Fink, of Foster the People, who co-produced it. He actually stopped traveling with Foster the People last year, and he came on board with the film and co-produced the film with us. And so it's really been a family affair, and I wouldn't have it any other way, man. I really wouldn't.
It sounds like a tremendous blessing. Joel Smallbone is here on the road. Joel, of course, for King and Country. You've heard their songs on the radio, those beautiful anthemic faith-based songs. Their new book now and film, both releasing this fall, are called Priceless. Now, I want to give you a chance to talk about this because I know it's such a passion of yours. Talk a bit about your heart for how men can begin to show the women in their lives just how priceless they really are.
I think there's two dialogues at play here. One is this, this beautiful, I would dare even say holy, sexuality that's built into every man, this drive. But I use those words, beautiful and sort of spiritual, in the context, in a certain context. And I think we're losing our way a little bit as to what that context is. And like any, the greater something can be, and the more powerful something can be, like sexuality, the more opportunity it has for it to be sort of abused and used in the wrong ways and arguably perverted. And so I hope that to see in myself and in those around me this deeper, truer, as I used the word dignified earlier, this dignified side of men coming out saying, hey, whether it's with my mum or my sister, my cousin or the girl at school, I will honor them and really show some chivalry in how we interact. And then with the women that we interact with romantically, that there will be an understanding that, hey, you know, if you haven't put a ring on it, so to speak, that this is a wonderful opportunity to explore friendship and to build a relationship and to understand each other, but that this great thing that is sexuality, I've found, is too strong to wield outside of a committed marital relationship. And then so I would encourage, you know, I hope, you know, to get into it a bit more with men, I hope that we are able to really love women. I think what so often happens is women are on search for love and they're getting sex back, and men are on the search for sex and they're getting love back. Confusion going on where we're not lining up. And wow. I think it's more on men. I think men, we need to start pursuing love rather than just physical gratification.
That is very well said, my friend. Joel Smallbone for King and Country here on the road with us on Faith Radio. And we know that the time goes quickly on this program. And once again, it's done just that. We just have a couple minutes left, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about, I know that the book releases across America next Tuesday, maybe just specifically when the film will be out, and really if there is a hub for where people can go to learn where they can find the book and the movie, sir.
Yep. Well, first things first, the book, which you're spot on, releases September 6th. You can go to pricelessbook.com, pricelessbook.com, to retrieve the book or to order the book. You can also go to Barnes & Noble, I believe, and most other major retailers to get the book. And then the film is releasing theatrically October 14th. And we're very active on the social platform. So if you go to pricelessthemovie.com, it's sort of the portal to get to our, I love Instagram, so I'm always on that Instagram, to get to Instagram, to get to Facebook, to get to Twitter. And you can see the trailer there. We actually just surpassed 2 million views on the trailer, which we were very, really thrilled about in just a few short weeks. So there's a lot of opportunity to connect on those platforms. And I want to say this too. The reason, you might just sit there and go, well, why? You know, you're musicians. Okay, why? Why branch into writing, why branch into filmmaking? And it's because of this. It's because throughout history, the religious arts, the arts based in the church, has been an influencer to culture. The Sistine Chapels, these great hymns, and only in a modern era, have we started to lose the edge. And our hope is to bring back the identity of writing excellent music, and in this case, making films and writing books that share about subjects and issues that are culturally relevant, and share it in a way that is inspirational and encouraging and dramatic, to shift us all towards a better humanity. And so this film is really a test, and I hope that by the grace of God, that folks will come out and support this. But even beyond that the sentiment of the film is for us men to love well and for women to be loved and know who they are under God. And I hope that those great truths, whether it's through this film and book or some other way, are demonstrated in the arts in a really special way.
The film and the book, both called Priceless. Joel Smallbone of For King and Country has been with us, and that's, of course, not even to mention the number one hit song called Priceless, which you can hear so many places across the world on radio right now. Joel, I just have to say to you, brother, thank you so much for being here. Your wit, your humor, and your heart are just such a pleasure to be around. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
And vice versa, Mr. Ryan. Your joy is contagious. I appreciate you having me on the program.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.